What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, October 24th, 2019. I am one of your hosts, Imran Khan, and joining me today is FM3 underscore the one and only Fran Mirabella the third. Fran, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Imran. Your intro, I always love it. Nice. You give all the credit.
Yeah, all the credit, but I don't have that much time to talk to you about how you're doing.
We have a news-packed day today.
Holy shit, on Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live, right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, where we run you through all the nerdy video game news that's fit to listen to. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. To be part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later by searching through Kinda Funny Games Daily on podcast services around the globe. Today's stories include The Last of Us 2 has been delayed, Persona 5 Scramble has been detailed, and Dying Light has been left for dead. But first, a little housekeeping before we get to any of that. Extra Life is Saturday, November 2nd. 24 hours of games for charity. Join us now at kindoffunny.com/extralife or watch on the day as we prostrate ourselves for charity. What's Good New or What's Good Games is having a meet and greet in West Fargo, North Dakota on Friday, October 25th. That's tomorrow. It's at the Barcode Bar and Grill at 835 23rd Avenue East at 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. tomorrow. Christmas comes early to Fargo because Joey Noel, Andrea Renee, and Brittany will be there. You can find more details at whatsgood_games on Twitter. They're also doing their Extra Life themselves on Saturday, October 26th, the very next day, starting at 12 p.m. Central. It benefits the Sanford Children's Hospital and has prizes like video games, gaming headsets, and more. You can watch that at twitch.tv/whatsgoodgames, youtube.com/whatsgoodgames, or be there in person at the eGames Central in Fargo, North Dakota. We want to thank our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed Mohammed. And today we're brought to you by Third Love and Upstart, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got 7 stories today?
A biggest dozen.
Let's start with late-breaking news. The Last of Us 2 has been delayed to May. This is from the PlayStation blog and written by Neil Druckmann. Let me cut to the chase and get the news out of the way. The Last of Us Part 2 has a new release date of May 29th, 2020. I know. It was just a month ago when we had our big blowout for the game, letting media play over 2 hours of it along with debuting our new story trailer and revealing the release date. The positive response we saw from our community was overwhelming. You can feel the energy among the team members. After working on something for so many years, it's invigorating to get a glimpse of validation for all the hard work. However, it was during the last few weeks, as we were closing out sections of the game, that we realized we simply don't have enough time to bring the entire game up to a level of polish we would call Naughty Dog quality. At this point, we were faced with 2 options, compromise parts of the game or get more time. We went with the latter, and this new release date allows us to finish everything to our level of satisfaction while also reducing stress on the team. While we're relieved that we won't have to compromise our vision, we're disappointed that we weren't able to avoid this exact situation. We wish we could have foreseen the amount of polish we needed, but the size and scope of this game got the better of us. We hate disappointing our fans, and for that, we're sorry. We hope that you understand this additional time ensures that The Last of Us Part 2 lives up to our collective ambition as well as our commitment to the highest level of quality. We know the extra few months will add to what may already be an excruciating wait for all of us. We are grateful for your patience and continued support. Come next May, you will finally rejoin Ellie in The Last of Us Part 2 from Neil.
Really quick, because everybody's...
Real quick, here he comes.
Everybody keeps asking, because there is a bet made between Gary Whitta, Andrea Renee, and myself about when this would come out and the release date. I forget what Gary said. It was sometime in January. I was March 20th, and so with the original release date, I was the closest, so originally I won.
Right.
But with this new delay, Andrea is the winner of the pizza bet, so stop asking me on Twitter.
There it is.
Stop asking.
Okay, Andrea's the winner now.
Also, this now comes out a week before my wedding, so that's going to be really fucking stressful.
Yeah.
Do you think Neil Druckmann did this just to spite you personally?
Just to fuck with me. Yeah. On two accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You're going to have to finish The Last of Us 2 that week. Like, there's no real way around it.
Well,
I might just have to wait until after the wedding at this point.
That's just silly. What are you talking
about?
You should probably wait. You should wait until after your wedding. I think there's two things to discuss here. How do you feel about it? How do we feel about it? And what do we think happened? That second thing maybe is just me, but I'm like, what happened? Maybe start with the first part. How do you feel about this? You know, big delay.
I'm personally fine with it. Like, games get delayed for polished reasons all the time.
Yeah, it's not a new concept.
I'd rather they do this than think like, oh shit, we need to get it out before end of the financial year because there's concerns about pre-orders being taken and that being shifted over. This is Sony saying, hey, we can, like, I guess Naughty Dog saying and Sony acquiescing. Like, yeah, if you need more time, go for it.
Yeah. But yeah, before the speculation on maybe what happened, I was just like, how do you just personally feel? It sounds like it doesn't, you know, bother you that much.
It doesn't
bother,
like...
It's going to bother a lot of people, but I'm in your camp.
Yeah. Last of Us 1 was 6 years ago. I'm good.
I know.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel. I'm like, I've waited so long that, you know, they basically need, 3 more months? And I'm like, it's another 3 months, and I want the game to be as best as possible. You know, any artist working on something, you know, I usually, at this point, right, it being so long, I'm like, take the time you need. Like, if it could be like, whatever, if it was an album, you know, it's like, we need just a little more time to finish it up. I'm like, fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want Tool to, like, put out the album early, you know, until they feel that it's right.
Yeah, and you can't patch an album, Kanye West aside, to... be like to fix the glaring problems in it.
Yeah, you don't want to have to. It ruins it, though.
And a lot of developers do that of like, we need to get the shit out in March because the quarter, the financial year, whatever. Like, we need to get those out immediately or before the end of that time and then fix it later.
Right. Yeah. Like, even Borderlands even went through this. Like, I don't think it was as much, you know, that took a long time too. Mm-hmm. But you got to wonder, you know, like as they were closing in on the date, if they're like, honestly, maybe this coming February, like the stability issues we had at launch and stuff like that, maybe it would have been better. And as gamers, it would have been so much better for us. So, meaning, I definitely, as a gamer, I'm fine waiting in 3 months. I've, you know, I've always got more Destiny to play, and many other things are out there. So I'm okay with it.
On the personal note, like going back to that, I am very glad that Hell Season does not begin in February now.
That what doesn't mean?
The Hell Season of game releases.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I think it's like a 3-month period where this, Final Fantasy VII, what else?
Right.
Animal Crossing, Doom, Cyberpunk, and a bunch of other shit. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to tell us.
Yeah. Cyberpunk is April.
That's April, yeah. But February, March, April is intense.
Yeah, we should look at those big games coming out now. But yeah, I'm more than happy to personally have the space.
Yeah, push this off a little bit. I could use the extra time off after, especially what's going on right now, the number of games we're playing.
Right? Yeah, we're in a nice position. Barrett, how do you feel?
I mean, like...
Other than your wedding, remove that equation.
Yeah, removing that from the equation. To avoid crunch and to make sure that they make the product that they want to make. Like, yeah, by all means, delay your game. That season is fucking chaotic already with Final Fantasy VII Remake, Cyberpunk, and like all that stuff in that window. So this at least makes that specific area of their original release date a little lighter. Not by much, but a little bit.
Yep.
I'm all for it.
So, now this may be just be me speculating, but I'm like, okay, wait a minute. And Neil even addresses a little bit. They're like, we just had this launch event, reveal event for the press. You didn't go to that, did you?
I did not.
Me neither. None of us in the room did. But Greg went down there. Andrea, Renee from What's Good was down there. And anyway, had a good time, and they announced the release date, and here we are, like, what, within a month?
Yeah.
And it got delayed. Now that says something to me.
That feels like...
That's like, wait a second.
When they say polish, I am naturally assuming they don't mean, oh, there's a weird animation here. I think it means like, hey, something broke. Something broke in a very bad way that maybe people aren't going to see.
See, that... Okay, yeah, that's a good perspective. I'm in a different camp. I think they've been fighting and fighting and fighting, trying to not have to release in February. Mm-hmm. And who knows? I'm making this up. I have no sources on this. But you see it a lot. And like they had a release date that barely made the end of Sony's fiscal year, which ends in March. It's not just quarterly sales. It's the entire fiscal year for 2019 for Sony. And that would be a lot of, you know, dough. You know, in the bank. And so, anyway, you know, would have given it a month. And now they're like, all right, now you're in the next fiscal year when PlayStation 5's releasing. So anyway, I think whatever happened, I couldn't say, but I feel like personally that they won the war, so to speak.
Right.
I feel like somebody was out there, and maybe with the release date too, the studio was like, they all like had heard maybe, but it all, you know, maybe it came together as they were making the announcement over the last month and a half or whatever, that when they told the studio, maybe the studio's like, oh my God, like the crunch is going to kill us mm-hmm. and the holiday. And so I'm making all this up, but I feel like that's the scenario. Holiday crunch, studio's like, this is an awesome game, but this is going to be a problem if you don't give us this extra few months.
I mean, holiday crunch is a good point to make, because like theoretically, if they were planning to still hit that February date, they would be working through December the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
They would not be getting...
That'd be like the stretch is Christmas.
Yeah.
Or, like, that's when you're pretty much finishing it up.
Because that game would go gold, like, January, like, 15th or something. Yeah. So it makes sense that they were like, hey, we can't work the entirety of the holiday. That seems insane. Can we just push this off a little bit?
Yeah.
And, like, 3 months is a quarter of a year. That is not an insignificant amount of time.
No, yeah. It's...
So it's not. It's probably not just one thing broken. It's probably, like, some things definitely need some real hospitalization right now.
Right.
But that's fine. Like, games are broken up until the minute they're done.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, games, you know, they call it Naughty Dog quality, and it's like, man, I can't imagine trying to live up to that standard every time.
Right.
Because, quite frankly, they do an amazing job. Like, there's always, in any game, there's little things here and there, but overall, like, oh my goodness, they set a precedent in how high the bar gets, you know? It was like when God of War came out, right? We were just like,
yeah,
that was, I feel like, Naughty Dog quality. That's sort of what we saw.
And even
with
that
God
game, like some of the most praised parts of that game, like the Leviathan acts as a whole, like being able to summon that thing back in. Because before the last 3 months, that thing was just, it reappeared back in your hand, and that was it. Like it just materialized back in there.
Really?
The actual like calling it back thing was not done until the final bit of that game.
Yeah, and that's a game changer. That's a great example then. I didn't realize that, but yeah, I mean, 3 months is actually not a lot in game development time, right?
Right.
But it's more than a couple weeks of a small patch, to your point.
Especially in a year where presumably they're launching, not presumably, they've announced it, that they're launching the PS5.
Well, supposedly, right?
Yeah. So,
can you trust them anymore? I mean, I didn't realize it's studio. I mean, it is a Sony game, so I'm joking, but it could also happen to PlayStation 5.
That does bring up a marketing question. Mm-hmm. Because, like, let's say... We're assuming now that Sony's going to have a big reveal event for the PS5 in, let's say, February, March, something like that.
Ooh, yeah, I like where this is going.
Do you think
they were actually kind of butting up against each other, too.
But, do you think they would show, like, hey, Last of Us is out on PS4 soon, but here's what it's going to look like if you put it in a PS5?
That's what I want, and no, I don't think so. I think it's that we run into that. I've seen a lot, anyway, these cross-gen games. It tends to, people will then wait and not buy the game in concept. I feel like that's the marketing idea. Mm. And I've seen publishers get skittish about, hey, but just buy it later on PS5. So okay. I don't think we will see hide nor hair of it at all, if it even is coming as a remaster or whatever it is to PlayStation 5.
I suspect it'll come, but I think like if they wanted to have a thing of, actually, your games don't need to be remastered, they just look like this when we built them, like... The Xbox One and the X Enhanced kind of model.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just look better if you put them in a PS5.
Yeah, it's funny. Tim has this similar theory for Xbox for sure, where it's just like, look, like there's all the different versions, and it kind of is like, this one looks better. I'm like, game developers just don't think that way, though. Like, same thing, right? Naughty Dog quality. I don't know that they're just going to want to, like, up-res it to 4K, you know, higher-res textures, etc., and just pump it
up. But, I mean, is it different from a PC version where you're saying, like, Control has the normal, like, you can play Control without ray tracing, or you can turn a ray tracing switch on.
No, the concept's not different. I'm saying that that's not what the developer wants. Right? Mm-hmm. The developer wants to, like, fully, it's brand new to them. How's the SSD going to change the way that, you know, the game works? How does it make it better? How does, you know, how do you take the graphics to a higher level than just turning on some lighting?
Right.
You know what I mean? Animation, all
the other hand, what if that's what the 3 month delay is for?
Yeah, I don't think it's that, but I feel like you're scratching at something there that I didn't think about, which is we keep saying maybe there will be a PlayStation 5 event in February, because that is when the PlayStation 4 was revealed, late January, February.
I believe it was February something.
Yeah, so yeah, I was thinking a Switch, and it was a January.
Switch was January, yeah.
Kind of funny.com/ you're wrong me. But anyway, you might be onto something there too, which is I don't think it's why they delay the game, but maybe this was the little bit of leverage I was looking for. Maybe they were like, you know what? We got PS5 reveal to worry about, and you guys have been fighting for this extra time. It's going to push us out of this fiscal year, which is a huge, you know, corporate fiscal concern. But, you know, we want it. We want our focus on PS5 or something like in that time zone. I don't know.
So Jason Schreier was on Twitter this morning, and he wrote the story very early this morning saying, hey, Last of Us 2 is going to be delayed. He also posted that he implied that this was probably Ghost of Tsushima's release window that Last of Us 2 is being pushed into, and thus Ghost of Tsushima is being pushed back a little bit more. So this...
Wait, when... Well, we don't know when Ghost
we don't
comes
know. So his implication was
maybe
that, like,
Ghost will fill it.
Ghost is originally going to be first half of the year, but now it's not, so it's going to be pushed into second half of the year now.
Time out. I thought you were saying Last of Us 2 might be, you know, butting up against the Ghost of Tsushima window, which is part of the Last of Us got to push forward, but
from
you're saying everything's pushing forward
now?
Yes,
because Last of Us got delayed, they're pushing everything else forward a bit.
Why? Now, that's the only thing I don't understand.
Not forward, but backward, right?
Forward
in the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right. Okay. We should clarify.
Deeper into the year, yes. Yeah.
Why would it push everything else forward, though?
Because it's marketing schedules.
Yeah, and they don't want to... Marketing schedules, and they don't want to, like, demolish their other big exclusive title with The Last of Us.
The window between those, you know, two. So I think the clarity I was looking for is, did people think that Ghost might release in an April or May? Maybe
I don't know what
was,
people
maybe
thought.
Maybe that's the thought. And so now,
but
yeah.
Schreier's implication was that it would have.
Gotcha. Yeah. I thought people were saying maybe it was in February, but no, we'd probably know by now.
Yeah.
So now with that implication, now it's looking like Ghost is coming out closer and closer to the PS5 release, which
I think
it's also like kind of weird for that game and kind of sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the highest level confidence that PlayStation 5 is coming out 2020. I mean, it may.
They've said it like
they
I mean,
said
granted,
holiday 2020. Yeah, very recently too. But the I guess the other thing that that big of a deal is that there's PS4 backwards compatibility at least with that system. So
yeah.
It's not that huge of a deal, but it's still a kind of awkward release window.
But no,
now.
But you're right. All the marketing stuff starts to pile up, and I mean, look, like the Last of Us is a big enough product, it can kind of go wherever it wants. But yeah, Ghosts being a brand new thing, that probably presents a new issue for that. And then whatever with PlayStation 5, I mean, that's going to be the biggest thing in the water once it finally lands. But
I will say from a spacing perspective, this actually works out better for Sony. Because like people don't... this gives them more marketing muscle in the first quarter to put behind Final Fantasy VII. Because that is a PS4 exclusive that people aren't thinking of as a PS4 exclusive, really.
You're right. See... Again, that's what I was looking for. So I'm like, what was it that pushed this over the edge? And a comment like that, a comment like the PS5 reveal of it, it's like, look, we got Final Fantasy. It's going to be a huge system seller if you haven't bought it yet. Or it's just going to, you know, be more money in our pocket because it's going to sell like hotcakes. Yeah. Even if it's not the first party, Sony gets a cut of every copy sold, obviously.
Right. So like that being the big first quarter game for Sony is good for them. Because otherwise they're not really firing on all, like, Iron Man is the only other example I can think of something they've got coming in the first quarter.
Yeah. And now
That game seems good. It's a PSVR game, so it's inherently limited.
So, interesting. It's funny. Yeah, there was some other stuff in the first quarter we're going to talk about that now got pushed out.
Today is delay day for him. this is kind of breaking news as I was putting news together this morning. So I don't have, like, I was listening to the Ubisoft call because I'm a weird person. Ubisoft delayed Watch Dogs Legion, Rainbow Six Quarantine, and Gods and Monsters, and I learned later off Twitter that it was also Roller Cage, to the next fiscal year. This is from Ubisoft by Yves Guillemot. From an ongoing Ubisoft call, all three games will now release between April 1st, 2020, and I put March 31st, but that's not true because apparently it's before the end of 2021 for all three of them. Yves Guillemot also confirmed that Ghost Recon Breakpoint has underperformed both critically and sales-wise.
Yep, I saw that. Yeah, I was double-checking. According to Polygon, they said they billed the delay as a decision to increase development time?
Yeah, which is surprising for me with Watch Dogs, because that game has been in development for quite a while.
Yeah.
I think it was in development since before Watch Dogs 2 finished.
I can believe that, though. You can just switch into anybody's
body. Yeah, that is not a game that is like easily concepted or executed, honestly. But what do you think? Like it doesn't feel like a panicky move, but it does feel like to delay everything that's coming out this financial year is... surprising.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a big hit. I was just, you know, looking at I'm looking at Games Radar's video game release date list, and you know, Watch Dogs was, I don't know if it was March 6th.
Yeah,
that's what it has here.
That was the date they gave it E3.
You know, Gods and Monsters, was that February 25th actually? Because that's what it says on here.
I would, that sounds about right.
Too,
yeah.
Right? That got pushed.
That got pushed as well.
And Rainbow Six, that was the
Quarantine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Roller Cage was also that other one.
So they were,
yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, they were all packed in that same time. Again, similar scenario where it's like, look, we want this revenue at the end of the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, they've now arrived at like, look, it's not going to happen. So sometimes the truth is, and it's a good reminder for folks who don't follow it as closely, curious if you think this is accurate, but very often publishers and developers, to keep the financial investors happy, they'll be like, yeah, we're going to make that quarter.
Mm-hmm.
6 months, you know, out, we'll make it.
Yeah.
As it gets closer, they're like, yeah, we're not going to make it. So they keep you on the line as close to as when they can, and then they kind of give you the warning shot when you get up close. I see that happen all the time.
I mean, Gods and Monsters,
they probably knew some of this stuff wasn't going to make it, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Gods and Monsters was not going to be like a huge thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, Rainbow Six Quarantine would have been like, I'm sure people would have liked it, but it wasn't going to be a big seller. Watch Dogs is the big one. I'm sure they did not want to delay this thing.
I would agree with that.
So this is actually one where I think, oh, something must be broken.
Yeah. And again, like, broken is so relative. It's just like, I think it's the same thing. They're like, you know, fighting for time. And it's like, we need you at the end of the fiscal year. They're like, guys, this is so ambitious.
Yeah.
And also, maybe you look at how Breakpoint Division underperformed a bit. And like, do you want more situations like that? Mm-hmm. Do you want Watch Dogs to now underperform? Or do we bank more on 2020?
Yeah. At this point in the development cycle is probably when like early mock reviews start coming in, where like they start seeing what people think of it, and maybe it just isn't gelling well. That's like that's one possibility.
Yeah, yeah, that happens all the time too.
Yeah,
like they get feedback, and yeah, people playing as much as the games has developed at this point, it's quite a bit actually, and they start to lose maybe the confidence in certain things. And they're like, you know what, we do want to totally change this up. Like you said,
I mean,
with the God of War example, I didn't realize that, but like changing how the axe like comes back to you and like getting that in. I mean, that was a game changer, and little things like that can go such a long way.
And like Watch Dogs is not a series that's necessarily known for stunning quality at this point. And I think Ubisoft learned the lesson with Assassin's Creed that if you start rough and then you start making quality games, those series will start doing way, way better and become core tenets.
Yes.
So Watch Dogs 2 did quite well, like critically. Sales-wise, it did all right. Mm-hmm. But I imagine they can't afford to mess up with Watch Dogs 3, so it makes sense to just, like, go focus on quality first and make sure that game actually does well before you worry about anything else.
Yep. So, yeah, whatever. All these companies, I'm more than happy to hear. They got to take a little bit of fiscal, bruising and push it into this next fiscal year for them, which, again, as gamers, we don't have to worry about, but that really determines a lot of these release dates, and it's for the quality of the games and also the gamers' enjoyment. So I'm always going to be in favor of a delay unless it seems suspect, right?
And again, it gets it out of that quarter, which is very nice for everyone who actually has to play a bunch of games.
Yeah, it's a nice problem to have.
Fortnite's The End event set Twitch record for concurrent viewers of a single game. This is from GamesIndustry.biz by Reb Valentine. Fortnite's chapter-closing The End event last week saw 1.7 million people watching a nondescript swirling black hole concurrently on Twitch at one point, breaking a Twitch record for most concurrent users watching a single game category. Speaking to the Washington Post, Twitch confirmed the record-breaking figure. It's worth pointing out this is a record-breaking figure for a single game category, but another category not attached to individual games may have done better. Last year's E3 2018 also broke the record for total concurrent viewers across all of Twitch, saw nearly 1.8 million concurrent viewers in the E3 2018 category, according to Twitch stats. The numbers get even higher on YouTube. Global head of gaming and virtual reality for the company, Ryan Wyatt, tweeted during the event when he saw 4.3 million concurrent viewers watching Fortnite during the event. And on Twitter, the stream hit 1.4 million concurrent viewers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is the thing where last week they're like, the game's ending, we're sucking everything into a black hole, and they like took it down for the maintenance period and put that story around it. It turns out it was probably the best way to do it because it got everyone very, very focused on Fortnite.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't just like a new season and a new chapter. They literally brought the game offline and kept it offline and just in a mysterious shroud of this black hole.
Right.
Which was, you know, everybody was saying at the time, they're like, all right, well, kind of genius marketing. Yeah. Like,
do you think everyone else is going to copy this now, though? Is like the next Apex Legends thing going to be like, oh shit, a dinosaur stomped our map?
No, yeah, I think you can't copy that. That would be pretty lame. Sure, they could do it, but I think they also kind of sucked up a little bit of the energy in the room on this one. Like, you can't just like bring your game offline and show like a black screen now for an extended period of time. Like, you got to do something more original than that.
I mean, do you though? Like, if it's a thing that works, why not just try it? And like,
what would be a good example? I mean, I would use Destiny, of course, but would you have an example of...
I mean, let's say, for example, Borderlands.
Okay.
And, like, they just put up a thing of Claptrap saying, Sanctuary shut down for the next, like, whatever. Or we right. Sanctuary's, the engine's dead,
it's
we can't
Ice-T
go anywhere.
Just saying, like, the ship's down, he yeah. does the voice. Yeah, so the ship's unusable.
I mean, Borderlands is not that kind of game, but yeah. Like,
yeah, we're just making stuff up on the fly.
Like, because you've seen that cube in Borderlands, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like once before I actually looked up what to do with the cube, yeah. I was like, I wonder if that's a thing that's just going to set up a future event somewhere.
Oh, interesting.
And like, that would be cool if you start doing it that way of, these are these things that have no explanation in the game, but in the future they might do something with an event. So if you start tying future mechanics and future patches and updates and all that to thematic elements in the game, I think that's where this is going.
Well, I believe that for sure that's where that stuff is going. In other words, you know, games are learning from especially what Fortnite's been doing with live service stuff. So putting stuff in the game that leads to stuff later that is built into the narrative. But the game's online. You know, it's just like in Destiny right now, they're building something in the tower, for example, right? And it's part of the narrative, and you had to be there to see it sort of thing. But it's, I agree, that type of stuff. But the original question was like taking the whole thing offline.
Yeah, that
so I was like,
I assume that because you have to have the game offline for some things anyway.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to add a new map to Apex, the game has to go down for a bit. So why not just tie it thematically to a thing?
Yeah.
And like get some eyes on your, maybe not do it immediately, like not this week, obviously, but in 6 months when they need to like have that big update, it makes sense to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want to see a pure copycat, but yeah, maybe come up with something else.
I feel like once you have a battle royale game in the first place, like the genre rules are already fluid enough that if anyone calls you a copycat, then like, what are you going to point to? Like, hey, this is all just battle royale in the first place. Who cares?
Yeah.
Fran, really quick, you said shroud as a word in a very normal context.
I know that word, shroud, on
but
Twitch.
But breaking news.
What?
Shroud has announced his move to Mixer Twitch in an exclusive streaming deal.
What? Yep. They got Shroud?
I wonder how much they paid him.
A lot.
Because like
that's a serious acquisition on top of Ninja already, but I was like, I didn't expect more to come.
Right. No. Like, and those deals are good for Microsoft because now they have built-in things of like, hey, when we want to show more Halo Infinite stuff or just like a new Gears patch or whatever, they have people who they're paying to show it.
Yeah. Wow. This is definitely breaking news.
Yeah.
Good timing with the Twitch story, Barrett. Yep. Well done.
Twitch is probably very pissed.
I'm sure. Yeah. They've had their chance to, you know, come back, I'm sure, and make a counter offer.
Right.
So I've assuming their agents are always going back and be like, look, like this is what's going on.
I don't think they want to engage in this kind of war, honestly. Of like,
yeah,
paying
they don't.
For,
they're huge.
Yeah.
As well.
They're owned by Amazon, but I don't think they want to like pay $47 million or whatever the hell they paid Ninja or Microsoft paid Ninja to stream exclusively on Mixer. Like, they're not going to have that for Twitch.
Yeah. It's a big move for Mixer, not necessarily a big loss for Twitch. Now, what I mean by that is, what I would say is a big loss for the fans, absolutely. Like, being able to browse the directory and have Shroud and have Dr. Disrespect, right? Have, you know, Ninja, have, I'm just naming, like, big people. But, like, it's got a lot of big people. It's got a lot of big games and esports events. So there's a lot to watch. So the more that some of that's siphoned off, it gets more difficult for the fans, right?
Right.
It's like, now I got to watch this where, and or you got to make a new home. And it is a community. You know, I've been streaming 4 years now, and that was the thing that I learned more than anything. I was like, man, people are watching people play games. This was many, many years ago. And I was like, I don't know, how long can you do that? But I learned it was so much about the community.
Mm-hmm.
So this really starts to tear up the community. So
I wonder how many of Ninja's fans followed him.
I mean, quite a bit concurrently. You see what happens is the engaged user base comes with you.
Yeah.
So a lot of your really engaged subs and, like, meaning when I've been watching his concurrence, Ninja, still getting you, whatever, 20,000 or... And on Mixer, that's a monstrous number. Mm-hmm. So that's a big...
Yeah.
It's a big move.
It's a big gain for Microsoft. I wonder if it's worth the money, but...
For Microsoft?
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, I don't know that it's going to be actually in the long run. I wonder for these folks, too. Like, they must know more about the long-term plan. I keep wondering if it has something to do with Xbox Scarlett.
Yeah, it's a vertical integration thing of, like, yeah. Mixer feeds into the marketing and the consoles and the PC stuff. So if they get that thing off the ground, even just, like, they get it normalized. If they get it to say, like, hey, you get... Like, Microsoft stuff is coming with Mixer integration for the next, like, console. Then... if it sounds normal to people, if it's not just, hey, this is just a weird competitor to Twitch,
yeah,
then it works in their favor for other things.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. If we're going to see, you know, the new dashboard and stuff with Xbox highlighting streaming is a bigger thing, and they might be telling
the current one does. Like, I tried to figure out how to Twitch or stream from Twitch on Xbox One, and it is such a pain in the ass.
I'm sure they've made it more difficult.
Yeah. Mixer, however, very easy. You can do it from the home button.
Yeah. But, like, on the homepage for Xbox, it doesn't show, like, Mixer playing live or anything right now.
It does
right?
not, as no. far as I know.
There's a tab over or whatever it is, and I think you can put the tile there, whatever.
The Xbox One OS sucks so much, though.
Yeah, like. But that's what I'm wondering. Are they moving in a direction they've told these people? They're like, look, like, in addition to Halo coming out and blah, 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 it's going to be a big, like, front page.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that you'll easily see, because that would boost traffic a lot. So when you log in and... There's streaming, you know, and maybe you watch it off to the side a little easier now too. The whole concept of originally Xbox One, I actually liked the Snap concept, you know, Xbox Snap Shroud on Mixer. That was the original concept, and I really liked it. I reviewed the Xbox One when it first came out, by the way, and that was one of the features I thought made a ton of sense, but it just doesn't work right. And anyway, I'm wondering if they're moving towards that working. Right.
And I suspect in the future, maybe the next system, maybe even on Xbox One, the idea of combining Mixer, Game Pass, and xCloud as the thing we thought Stadia was supposed to be, of, hey, here's a video, like, you're watching a video of somebody playing a game. Mm-hmm. What if you just click this button? It takes you, because it's a Game Pass compatible game, you just sign up for these three services anyway. It'll just take you to that part in the game right now on xCloud. And you can play it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're doing that type of stuff too, exactly.
Like, it makes sense to combine all these things together, so maybe these are all... We're just seeing the various pieces they're putting together.
Yeah.
Speaking of Xbox. Former Xbox executive and, I guess, super good timing schedule, Mike Ybarra, joins Blizzard Entertainment. This is from GamesIndustry.biz by Matthew Hanterhan. Former Xbox executive Mike Ybarra has joined Blizzard Entertainment as executive president and general manager. In a statement on Twitter, Ybarra said only that he will start in a new role on November 4th and confirmed that he will be attending the company's annual fan convention, BlizzCon. Great timing on that one.
Oh, yeah.
We will work with all our energy to serve gamers with incredible content and experiences, Ybarra said. I can't wait to be a part of this team. Ybarra only announced his departure from Xbox 2 weeks ago. He spent 20 years at Microsoft working on titles like Gears of War, Age of Empires, and Sunset Overdrive, and ultimately taking the lead on Xbox Live, Xbox Game Pass, and Mixer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Mike Ybarra is, as it says, someone who's been a staple at that company and super important to their work. So I have to imagine it was more about how enticing the potential growth, and you see how big his position is at Blizzard, but, like, I mean, that's a big move to make in a time, and everybody's thinking it, you know, is the other shoe to drop. It's like, oh, you're going there now. Like, I mean, not a great time, but I'm sure this has been in the works for a long time.
Yeah, I imagine he had to compose that tweet very carefully.
I gotta imagine it's a huge bummer in that, you know, for all we know, it's been months and months that Microsoft has known, or maybe it's been a month, and, you know, the news was in before this stuff broke out.
Yeah,
with Blizzard's.
If he left 2 weeks ago, I'm positive he had this job before he left.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he most likely, unless there was a bigger issue, would have given them a pretty big heads up on leaving, and he would have set all this time up. So yeah, in the middle of all that, now Blizzard's got all these problems, but he's got this really big position. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think about being in that position. Like, he probably was so excited to take on this new role with all the stuff that they told him off the record about what's coming, and was probably pumped. And so it's probably a huge bummer with all this news hanging over him. But I assume he genuinely is very optimistic and more than, you know, he's not canceling going to Blizzard, right?
I wonder what attending BlizzCon means. Like, is it going to be he is there, he's just in the building, and he's like making deals, talking to fans, or whatever? Or is he actually going to be on the stage? Because I think if
I feel
he,
like he'd be on stage.
Like,
at some point.
Introducing our new, you know, what our new face, Mike Ybarra. It seems like a terrible time to do that, but if that's the job he has, then...
But you see, that's now we're getting back into the whole weeds of this Blizzard mess, which is like, it's not a terrible time to do it, though, because it's BlizzCon. When else would you do it? You
True.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
That is the place to do it. It's that for him and anybody, it's like,
and BlizzCon,
oh, man.
In general, it's just a terrible time for BlizzCon.
Let's put it this way. When they announce maybe the next Diablo or Overwatch 2, would you say it's a terrible time to do it at BlizzCon? No, but would you say it's a terrible time?
Time in general, yeah.
But I wouldn't say it's a terrible time
you know what I mean?
To do it at BlizzCon. I would say it's a terrible time for BlizzCon in general to happen right now.
Yes, yeah. For
well,
sure.
Mike Ybarra has his work cut out for him now, so EVP and general manager
honestly,
probably
like,
has a lot of thoughts on how to handle BlizzCon.
Yeah, and Blizzard in general, as somebody who like was an architect of Xbox Live and Xbox Game Pass, if you're trying to go to a company that is currently building out their major like esports and all that stuff, like their own launcher, all those things.
Yeah.
It makes sense that you want to hire Ybarra.
Yeah, and interestingly, they might lean into this, which is like, oh, hey, we're fixing stuff over here.
Yeah.
Mike is here to help. He's awesome. Mike, tell us what you wanted. And so he becomes like, hey, I wasn't part of all this originally, but I'm going to help everybody. I love gaming. I love blah, blah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they
the
lean
Reggie
into
thing.
That. Yeah, maybe they lean into that narrative and get us pumped again and believing that, you know, Microsoft has been on an amazing path and bringing some of that excitement to Blizzard. Not
speaking
that Blizzard's
of-
not awesome overall, except the recent issues.
Speaking of being pumped, Barrett, I'm so glad you're here for this one. Persona 5 Scramble, The Phantom Strikers, launches February 20th, 2020 in Japan. There's a debut trailer, details, and screenshots. This is from Gamatsu by Sal Romano. Persona 5, which has sold more than 2.7 million copies, makes its long-awaited action RPG debut on PlayStation 4 and Switch. This is a completely new story set after the events of Persona 5. The game is a collaborative effort between the Persona team and Koei Tecmo's Omega Force. Half a year after the ending of Persona 5, the Phantom Thieves of Hearts get together for a summer vacation, but get wrapped up in a new incident. Mystery cases are occurring all over Japan. Palaces, the cognitive worlds of warped adults, have returned. Donning their disguises, once again, the Phantom Thieves set out to resolve the new incident. Joker is not the only protagonist of Persona 5 Scramble, The Phantom Strikers. You can directly control all members of the Phantom Thieves other than the Navigator. Switch up characters to fight as the situation calls for it. Run through the cities full of shadows with dynamic Persona summoning action. So, this is a Persona 5, the word is I always use is Musou, but for people who don't play a lot of Dynasty Warriors games, it's a Warriors game. And it's being made with Omega Force, who makes the Warriors games and the spinoffs. Okay, let me ask you first, Barrett, what do you think of this?
Well, when it was first announced, right, we thought P5S meant Persona 5 Switch, which...
Yeah, P5S, yeah.
It kind of did, because it's coming to Switch, whatever. But yeah, it's P5 Scramble. And that first trailer, I was immediately not excited because I knew it was going to be a Dynasty Warriors like gameplay,
right?
And that stuff I'm definitely not into. And so to answer, I feel Arkwing's question that's coming up in a second. Their first question that they have is for myself: how do you feel about this game now that more of it has been shown? And to be honest, I'm more sold just because we're getting more story with these characters. We're seeing like where in the like timeline of events that this is happening. I'm glad that they're getting back together because that was the confusing thing for me because I knew it took place after Persona 5, but then I was like, but then how do they come back together? Because I don't want to get into spoilers in case you plan on playing that game at one point. But I was interested to see like what the... You're never going to play that fucking game, Fran.
One day
you're as fake of a fan of Persona 5 as Greg Miller.
They said
okay?
I would never watch all the Marvel movies, and I did. Okay.
And so I was interested to see like what the reason is. And now it's like, oh, it's summer vacation. They're going to all hang out and stuff. Like, I'm excited for a new adventure, and I will kind of push through this gameplay that I'm usually not into to check out the story. And who knows, maybe this sells me on this type of gameplay for at least IP that I'm interested in.
Right.
And looking at the little gameplay bits in the trailer that came out, it looks fun, more fun in a presentation wise, at least for me, than I would say the Dynasty Warriors games.
Yeah,
are.
I know a lot of people who are like Zelda fans that got into it because of Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah,
so.
I was gonna bring that up.
Yeah, I tried Hyrule Warriors, and I think that game is a garbage trash fire.
So I really like Hyrule Warriors. Yeah, but I like Musou games in general. So like I've been interested in this when I saw it. My worry is. So I really love Persona 4. Probably my favorite Persona game.
Okay.
I started really disliking that world as I played more Persona 5 or Persona 4 spinoffs. So like once by the time I got to Persona 4 Ultimax, I was like, I'm done with these characters. I don't need to see them anymore, because as they started writing them more and more, it became okay. Here's this one character. Here's Chie, who was a very like involved. Expanded character over time that had a full character arc.
Yeah.
That now she's just like, I love meat and I love kung fu.
I guess the like, as far as Persona 5 is spinoffs, not even counting Royale, whatever, because it's more of the original game. This might be all that I check out because again, not getting into spoilers, I really love the ending of Persona 5 and like where you let go of those characters.
Right.
So like I'm in the mood, like I'm down for like, all right, let's get the gang back together for one more thing. And then probably after that, I'm like, I'm cool. And then I'll just play Persona 5 Royale whenever it comes to the U.S. and whenever this comes to the U.S. So
cool. What do you make of this being based on Persona 5 and not Persona 5 Royal? Because the new characters are not in it, like Kasumi.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I'm not like invested in those characters yet, so I don't I don't think I can like really comment or I don't think I really care. And I think that's probably why. Like, do we have a date on Royal yet for Japan at least?
Japan is like this next month, I believe, or it's sometime this year.
Persona.
Oh, maybe I was thinking it was because
in America it's 2020.
We do have the release date. Maybe it is April over here, and that's what I was thinking.
We definitely
about.
Don't have the release date for U.S.
Well, while you guys verify that, I was going to say, you got to remember these games are, they're ultimately for Musou fans, right?
Yeah.
The people who like those games, and so now they get a chance to play maybe a franchise they've either heard about or maybe they're into, but it brings like... I don't know, a chance to try something new. I feel like that's the main reason when we see this stuff, less so that the team sat down and was like, hey, what kind of new Persona game are we going to make? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a puzzle game? Is it going to be a Musou game? Is it going to be a whatever? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't you feel like it? I actually kind of wonder if, Atlas is making this, right?
No, Atlas is just publishing.
Oh, they're just
so they're probably writing it, I would assume.
That's right.
So it's Omega Force, people who make all the other Warriors games.
So but I think they probably approach folks, right, and are like, hey, we were thinking of this crossover.
Like half their business is licensed stuff.
Exactly. Like, so I think they have a whole division of people who are like, let's do Persona.
Yeah.
So I think it's more in that vein, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Persona 5 Royal comes out in Japan next week. October 31st.
Oh, my God.
And spring 2020 in America.
Yeah, spring. That's what I was thinking, April.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a trailer for this out that looks pretty good. Arkwing, which Barrett mentioned earlier, asked a question. Persona 5 Scramble trailer was shown last night. I personally don't like the Warrior-style games. The trailer got me really hyped for the game. I like the Persona-style look. The social elements during the day is basically a sequel to Persona 5.
Yeah, like all the other gameplay besides the combat stuff looks just like Persona 5.
Yeah, and like there's like a 2D platformer section that actually looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it was interesting. And then, like all of like the social hangouts and stuff like that, like those are the moments that I'm really excited for. And then, again, maybe I will be more sold on this gameplay just because it's Persona. And maybe the gameplay loop this time around will finally click with me.
Yeah, for me, like it's contingent on the writing holding up. If the writing holds up, then I'll love all that stuff. So they did ask you, Barrett, that question of like how you feel about it, but they also asked for the host, had there ever been a game you were feeling meh about based on information given beforehand but ended up liking afterwards, be it trailers or actually playing it yourself? Love and respect to all of you. That kind of funny, Arkwing.
I did not read this question beforehand, so I'm definitely not prepared. Like, tons of games, though.
I mean, there's, like, a bunch for me. I remember I made fun of Nier for a very long time, because, like Square Enix is doing this really fucking dumb thing. And I played it, and I was like, oh, this is actually one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah. CDJ Gamer in the chat actually brings up a good one. Mario plus Rabbids.
Oh, yeah.
Mario plus Rabbids, when that game leaked, all of us were like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
For sure.
And then that was... The year that that came out, that was one of my favorite games that year.
Yeah, no
kidding.
It was
so good.
Like, when they showed that thing with the Princess Rabbit, I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that was awful. Don't,
what are they doing? God.
But the gameplay, though, fucking rad.
Actually, I feel like it was a long, you know, it is a long time ago, but I almost feel like when I was previewing Animal Crossing or we didn't know quite what to expect. I feel like that was one of them, and it, like... Obviously, like, by the time we knew all the info and it hit, you're like, this game is so cool. I feel like I reviewed the import version, but I may or may not be right. That I drew back in my mind as far back as I could go, and I feel like that was one of them. Like, we saw all these weird, like, what do? Like, you just send each other mail in this little town, and it's on GameCube at the time, and it was an import game that I got on GameCube, and a lot of preview coverage because that's what I was doing at IGN at the time, and I think I remember I'd be like, I don't know who this game's for, and then I got a hold of it. And I was like, this is pretty cool. So that probably is my pick.
I thought Resident Evil 4 was going to suck shit when I first saw it. I'm like, why are they making an action Resident Evil? Do they not understand what this series is? And I played it, and it's legitimately one of the best games of all time.
Yeah, I remember maybe feeling that way a little bit. And then I think it was Matt Casamassina, who at the time, you know, was running IGN GameCube with me. Got to play it, and I think I didn't. I feel like he came back and was, like, raving about it, and I got super excited just based on that.
Yeah. So basically, don't always make a judgment because you have no idea.
Yeah, you can't play it.
Speaking of judgments, we do know about the Conan O'Brien and Death Stranding thing. Conan O'Brien put up a thing yesterday where he showed he was at Kojima Studios, and he...
Apparently in Death Stranding.
He was modeled and voice acted for an appearance at Death Stranding. We can't... I don't want to discuss this news story... Because we might verge into talking about the game.
Yeah. So, as a reminder, right, the review comes out, I think, November 1st. That's the embargo when they go wide at 12:01 a.m. Pacific time. You know, we are playing the game, and that's the extent of what we can say.
We will have impressions next week's Gamescast.
Yeah. But, you know, if you watch the segment, we now know Conan's in the game.
Yeah.
I actually thought it might have been a joke at first. Like, yeah. Like,
no, Kojima confirmed it on Twitter. He's like, yeah. And he gives you you can read what Kojima he said on Twitter about it.
Exactly. Yeah, see, we want to make sure we get the quotes.
Because I'm veering very close to an impression.
But the thing that struck me is they actually showed this little moment of gameplay with... the main character crawling up the hill, and they're like, this is a game, like a delivery game. And I was like, okay.
I would watch a segment. So if you're curious about Death Stranding, I would watch that segment.
Check it out.
All right, moving on. Surprise, Dying Light is getting a Left 4 Dead 2 crossover. This is from Eurogamer by Wesley Yin Poole. Techland's 4.5-year-old zombie kill-em-up, Dying Light, is getting a surprise crossover with Valve's 10-year-old zombie kill-em-up, Left 4 Dead 2. They announced it was made over at the Dying Light Twitter, alongside an image showing Left 4 Dead 2-style weapons raised and ready for action. It's a surprise crossover, but a welcome one, and it's worth remembering both games remain popular on Steam, where they're in the top 100 games by the current player count. Left 4 Dead 2 is fast approaching its 10-year anniversary, and during that time, whispers of Left 4 Dead 3 have popped up, but so far have failed to result in a sequel. Could Valve have a surprise up its sleeve? I'm going to go ahead and answer no, probably not. So what do you think? For what reason would they have this sudden thing for a nearly 5-year-old game from a 10-year-old game?
I assume it's more about the I'm not as much of an expert on the story, but I think because of the 10th anniversary, they were looking for things to do. Maybe. Like I kind of want to feel like that way.
They're not new to this sort of thing. Left 4 Dead has appeared as crossovers in other games, like the PC version of Resident Evil 6. You could play Mercenaries mode with the Left 4 Dead cast.
Yeah.
So it's not new, but I find it interesting that this all came up all of a sudden, especially considering Dying Light 2 comes out next year. So if they wanted to just wait, I don't think anyone would have minded.
Yeah, I guess so. But wait, just for clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it? Which game is this crossover appearing in?
So this is appearing in Dying Light.
It is,
yes.
But current Dying Light, not
Dying
you're
Light 2.
That's what I thought. Just making sure I had that right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I almost, again, I feel like there's almost this 10th anniversary thing, and they looked at the top Steam games, like, yeah, I don't know, it makes a little bit of sense.
When is the 10th anniversary, though?
Of Left 4 Dead 2?
Yeah.
I'm not positive off the top of my head.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Wesley Yin Poole over at
Eurogamer. Like,
we're taking that.
I was about to say, I know it's 2009, but that obviously that doesn't help anywhere.
It was November 17th, 2009.
Okay. Yeah, so okay, a couple of weeks. Okay, that makes some sense, because if you want to save it,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, because I was thinking of, like, if the 10th anniversary was maybe next year, why not just wait for Dying Light 2?
Yeah.
This is so weird. But even so, if the 10th anniversary is in a couple weeks, why not just wait for Dying Light 2?
Yeah, it's not like Left 4 Dead 2 is so hot right now that they need to get on that. I'm curious if maybe that sets up something. Maybe there is a tease in that game for something else, be it Dying Light 2 or a new Left 4 Dead. Honestly, I put 1,200 hours into Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh, wow.
I could go for some more at some point.
There you go.
But that is so far away, Fran.
It really is.
If I wanted to know what is coming to the mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Dark Devotion is coming out on PS4 and Switch. Cat Quest 2 The Lupus Empire is on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Ghostblade HD is out on Switch. Door Kickers Action Squad is out on PS4. Lethys Path of Progress is out today on Switch. Creepy Brawler is out on Switch. Ox Logic Puzzle 1000 is out on Switch. Haunted Halloween 95 is out on Switch. Dark Veer is out on Switch. Ant Hill is out on Switch. Winter Sports Game is out on Switch. Vortex Attack EX is out on Switch. Rise of the Slime is out on PC. Potion Pause is out on PC and Mac. And Alpha is out on PC. New dates. We talked about a bunch of those delays. Watch Dogs Legion, Last of Us 2, Gods of Monsters, Rainbow Six Quarantine all have been delayed.
I want to also point out that Bloody Harvest, the free seasonal update for Borderlands 3, is available today. 3 p.m. Pacific time, I believe.
So to start that, do I just like I have to find monsters in the world somewhere or what?
You know, it's one of those I don't know if I'm under embargo until 3 p.m.
Really?
I would protect yourself.
Yeah,
right. Be safe. But
we can look it up online.
But we actually, we talk about this a lot. You lose track about what you talked about on the show versus...
to be fair, the only reason I know this is because I saw it read in a story. So at least that part of you find monsters out there and they give you some currency.
There actually is, but we talked about it on the latest Borderlands show, the first show we ever did. And so, long story short, there's terrors in the world that kind of add this instability to you. And so you have to fight against that, and that's part of what the event is. And yeah, there's new loot, there's a new legendary weapon, there's a trailer, and there's like a whole new area. There's rack-o-lanterns, you know, so racks flying around with like pumpkin heads.
Oh, Mario World style.
Exactly. So it's really cool looking. Definitely, you're going to want to check it out if you're a Borderlands fan, and it's free.
Deal of the day. If you buy a $5 box of food at Taco Bell or using the app, you get a 14-day trial of Game Pass Ultimate. According to Wario64, if you turn on recurrent billing, it gets you an extra month, so 44 days total. So if you're looking for A, a chalupa, or B, the Outer Worlds, this is a good option to do that real quick. We got some reader mail too, Fran, but before we get to that, we need to shout out our sponsors a little bit.
Indeed.
Third Love is sponsoring Kinda Funny Games Daily today. Nearly all of the Kinda Honeys are wearing Third Love bras, and you should too. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. Third Love offers more than 80 sizes, including their signature half-cup sizes. Skip the trip. Find your fit with Third Love's online fit finder, order, and try on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. And returns or exchanges are free and are very easy. Hands down, the most comfortable bra you'll ever own, and straps that won't slip, and tagless labels with no itching. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra out there for everyone, so right now, they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect-fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. We're also brought to you by Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smaller interest rates to help you pay off the high-interest credit card debt. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit card or credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of smarter interest rates. You've heard it before. When Greg moved to SF, he took out a loan, and his interest rate was garbage. This probably would have helped him. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe you, and they understand that. Make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. The best part? Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day, Fran. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. And hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Fran?
Yes, sir.
David Scott wrote in, say, hey, Tim, Ron, and Fran. On Tuesday, you guys discussed the differences between AAA and indie studios and how they shouldn't be held to different standards. Yeah. I work for the largest educational game studio, but I'm constantly conflicted in telling people I work for a AAA studio. I'm curious how you two each, in your own words, would describe what AAA means in the industry. Would you consider companies that don't make mainstream games AAA, even if they are some of the highest grossing game studios? Thanks for bringing awesome content to Kinda Funny, David Scott, a.k.a. Demon Waffle. So we talked about this the other day. We were talking about Outer Worlds, of like maybe that's what AA means. Maybe it's not fair, or maybe it's completely fair to like hold it to the same standards of a Fallout, New Vegas, or whatever.
Yeah.
What would you say is actually like, we use the word AAA or the term AAA quite a bit in that discussion.
Yeah.
How would you define AAA?
Yeah, usually for me it is I want to pick my order of operations. Honestly, starting with pedigree. I feel like you can't say something's AAA until you've got some like stuff out the door or a pedigree.
Right.
So maybe you're forming a AAA studio, right? But you've got the pedigree, the creator of Halo, the creator, whatever. And the second piece I believe you need, in my opinion, curious to see what you think, is definitely the funding and the size. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're not, in my opinion, you might have whatever, the creator of Halo, and you've got a team of 12 people.
Yeah.
And you're working on a game and you only have so much funding, but that's not a triple A game.
It's an indie game.
Exactly. I'd call that an indie studio with, you know, a creator with pedigree. So definitely big team sizes, a lot of budget, big marketing budget, as well as the pedigree.
Right.
To be AAA.
But that it gets kind of confusing because, like, let's say, take Nintendo as an example. I would classify Breath of the Wild as a AAA game,
yep.
Even if it cost, like, if it did hypothetically cost less than God of War or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But like,
it still costs a lot.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, I don't consider every Nintendo game a AAA game because they don't put, like.
Right. That's AAA game versus a studio, though.
Yeah.
So are we. I think we
can get into both definitions.
Okay.
But, like, I would say Nintendo overall is a AAA studio. But, for example, what would we call Luigi's Mansion if we consider it a Nintendo published game? That comes from Next Level Games.
Well, no, and that's precisely it. We know it's not as big of a team, and it's not like a triple A game, so to speak. Like, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say Luigi's Mansion is triple A. And what that means, again, is the amount of money, the amount of talent and time you're sinking into it. So the next Breath of the Wild is going to get a ton. Luigi's Mansion is looking good, but it's not like it has the resources that the Breath of the Wild team has.
I mean, it's like that old it's like that old legal comment about pornography of. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. So, like, I can't define for you what AAA is, but if you told me, if you put Outer Worlds and Fallout 4 next to each other, even though they're very similar kinds of games, I'd be like, well, this one's not AAA, and this one is. And we can start getting into more definitions of, like, private divisions and indie label, and Bethesda's a big-ass game studio.
Yeah.
So, like, that might be part of it, but...
Yeah, an indie label can work for a AAA publisher.
Right.
So...
And like
that doesn't mean they're getting all that money and resource, right? It's
right. If they're part of Take-Two or they're legally distinct from Take-Two. It's a big fucking
exactly.
Thing.
Yeah. Like actually recently, right? Like Rad was released by Double Fine, who I would actually they make Yeah, they almost make like double A games.
And they're a Microsoft
like.
Studio.
But
now.
They're a smaller studio. And yeah, you, like your what your comment resonates now where I'm like, yeah, I love what they make. Do you call them triple A games? Is that a snide? If you don't,
right.
It gets complicated. But the truth is, like, we love Double Fine games, but they're not as big as like 343.
Right.
It's just, that's a fact. So triple A studio versus a more indie driven type studio. Like you would say Double Fine's a little more indie, right?
I would say
they
so.
They still got pretty good resources.
But
it's not like nothing compared to 343.
Now they're under Microsoft, though.
Yeah.
Yes. But again, AAA publisher versus studio. This is exactly, it was a good question. Mm. Yeah.
Which Obsidian also under Microsoft. So it's a different or difficult thing, too. Of like, I would say, I don't know, like Remedy is not a AAA studio. But like, I wouldn't say Control is a AAA game. But I'd have a hard time defining what you would call it because there is
a double A game.
Yeah, it's a double A game. Essentially.
Funny. I can tell you personally, I almost never use the term double A. But if you were, forcing me in a situation
what do you call
like this,
double A batteries then, Fran?
I said I don't say double A games. I do call them double A batteries. But anyway, in other words, you get into like rating a quality of the game versus rating the quality and pedigree and budget of the studios, and it's. It's a whole big mess. That's what my point was. I know a AAA game and a AAA studio when I see it.
Yeah.
That's easy. When you get it, that's an A studio, it's a B studio, it's a double A, it's a B minus. Like, let's just, for me personally, it's AAA or not.
Yeah.
That term resonates. I feel like everything else, it does get complicated. So what, let's just get away from it. If you're not AAA, you're just not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thing. Just might mean your budget and your pedigree, and again,
it also gets confusing when you start talking about like indie publishers like Devolver and stuff like that. Like, are they still an indie studio or indie thing when they're publishing?
Making my brain hurt. Like, what's Kojima Productions, right? Like,
yeah, technically they're an indie developer. They're not owned by Sony.
See, that's right. Yeah, again, my definition. No, they're
technically Bungie's an indie developer.
Yeah, they're both AAA publishers.
Yeah,
Kojima brings the pedigree, and they sure seem to have a lot of money right now. But we'll see where that goes.
Speaking of Devolver, we talked a little bit yesterday about how like Suda 51 and Square 65 announced a new game that Devolver is publishing, and they gave $1 million for it.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
Devolver confirmed to PC Gamer, we've never heard of this.
So it was like just a drunk stream,
I guess. But like now Devolver like has tweeted at Swery saying, "Hey, can you send us an actual pitch? Because we're interested." But
they didn't give them $1 million then.
I guess not. Like, but Swery's like, "God, now I have to make concept art." So maybe this is all one big bit.
Could be,
but it's still hilarious, and I'm enjoying every second of watching it.
Catching news headlines.
Yeah. Chad Betteridge writes in, "Good morning, Frim Fran." I'm not sure I appreciate that one, but sure.
By the way, I just realized the best celebrity combo here for you is Timrin.
Yeah.
You and Tim. I don't know if that's been used yet.
It's pretty much exclusively used by the questions. They decided on Timrin Keddies.
Well, I'm not that original then.
I like Imfran personally. I know Kevin has some problems with it.
Yeah. Frim Fran. All right. WWE 2K20?
WWE 2K20 is out, and it's a hilarious glitch-ridden disaster. Now that it's easier than ever to put, to put an undercooked game on blast by posting unintentionally funny content online, do you think major studios and or publishers will ever learn their lesson and stop rushing game development? Or, horror of horrors, will their takeaway be that a broken game gets more attention due to memification, and they can just fix it later after a price drop? Cheers from Chad Betteridge. So I kind of reject the premise of the question a little bit. I don't think it's that the game was necessarily rushed, or at least it wasn't a 2K decision or the developer's decision. I think it's you got to put out a WWE game every year because WWE
says
so.
This.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to believe that 2K, faced with the reality of what this is, so buggy, insane. I would have never guessed it could be as bad as it seemingly is. I haven't played it, but it's getting horrible scores. I saw more clips of like, I mean, these are bugs that you just don't normally see, you know, in
a polished game
from AAA publishers, right? So anyway, I can't believe that 2K would want to let out the door. I think you hit the nail on the head, which is like contractually, they're like, we have to do this. And somehow the ball was dropped. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Ukes got out of the contract. I don't know how it got passed the torch to Visual, or if they wanted that and they screwed up the time. You know what I mean?
I think Ukes got fired. Because
you think they were doing a bad job already?
No, I think they made a comment earlier in the summer about, hey, we're working on another wrestling game because the wrestling games we work on don't let us do what we want to do. And it seems like Take-Two or 2K got upset like with that.
Peeled the code out of their hands and tried to make do with it.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's using Uke's engine. So they had to make do with an engine that they didn't build.
No idea what they're doing.
Yeah, that was already kind of bad. So I was watching footage of this game last night, and it looks awful in almost every way. Even when it's working correctly, it looks like a bad game. But to answer Chad Betteridge's question of, like, do you think publishers are able to learn their lesson about it? I don't think any publisher ever wants to put out a bad video game.
No, of course not. Yeah. But somebody made a bad decision. Maybe you're right. It's crazy to me to think that maybe the game was going to be pretty decent or good, right? Yeah. And got peeled out of their hands at the last minute, and now it's like a freaking garbage truck fire.
I think there were conversations probably
at 2K.
That's
way worse than letting Ukes maybe take advantage of them, right? Isn't it? I'm stuck on that thought now, which is like,
I don't think they're taking advantage. I think Ukes wanted out because they've been doing this forever.
Yeah, but the game was almost done if what you say is right. You know what I mean? Like, if it just happened.
I think Ukes got fired for saying they were working on another wrestling game themselves.
Yeah. Oh, you're stealing, blah, blah, blah. Or
you're
like, taking advantage
you can't
of the
be working on something else. That
So you don't, we're going to take that, but that would have, you have to do that years ago, not this year. So we don't know what really happened, but.
But yeah,
it's bad.
I expect for this kind of thing that they don't like the social media look of this game. Like the memeification is not helping them at all.
No,
I've heard there were conversations at 2K about, like, what if we recall this thing? Contractually, we can't.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I think the answer to the question is nobody wants to, and it's way more complicated than you think. To get, even at the WWE, they don't want this. But contractually, how do you get all the people in the room and all, like, there's a lot going on at both of these companies and like, hey, we're actually going to just cancel WWE 20.
Yeah.
How do you get everybody together and make that marketing engine and all work? Or we're going to delay it. Anyway, it'd be super complicated. And I think some bad decisions are made along the way. And this happens sometimes, is really bad. Unfortunate to see for the fans and even the studio. It's not like Visual Concepts is a horrible studio or anything.
Yeah.
This is now that taints their name. They got to be super bummed.
I'm sure they did the best with the time and resources they were available to them. But yeah, that got super fucked up. And like the recall thing has happened before. EA famously, I want to say it was NBA 2K11. Or not 2K, sorry. NBA Live 11. They released the game. It leaked out a couple of days before, and YouTube videos went off about how this is such a glitchy mess. And in-game stores, they had to send the game back.
I think
even though it's already like in the back of GameStops and Best Buys already. So like, it's not unheard of, but I think if it were an option to them, they probably would have availed themselves of it.
Yeah. Well, let's hope they stick with it and get it fixed up, especially for those that did buy the game and decide to keep it or whatever.
On the other hand, while I feel sorry for people who bought this game for $60, like, you shouldn't do that. Like, at this point, you should know then to buy this game.
You're very well connected, Imran, come on. That's like, easy to say in our position,
if
but
you
like,
are
if
hearing
you've been
this,
buying these games for the last 5 years, would you expect this?
If you are hearing me say this now, you shouldn't buy that game. But I think from my perspective, as somebody who is on social media, the terrible glitchy WWE 2K20 is a better result than an actual good game. Because an actual good game, I'd be like, all right, that's cool. It's neat for fans to have that. But for me, seeing this shit on social media all the time is hilarious.
Plenty of entertainment. All right.
Time to squad up. We got Gabriel Williams, who is asking on Twitch and PS4. He is Scared Nerds on Twitch, DragonKing99 on PS4, Hi, Imran. On Friday, October 25th, a remake of one of my favorite games of all time, Medieval, is coming out. I'm so excited. I took the day off work so my friends can stream a full playthrough of the game to celebrate. We're planning on starting at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Central. It'd be cool if some best friends could drop by and check it out. It'll be on twitch.tv/scarednerds or on the PS4 user DragonKing99. I hope to see you all Friday. From the future, I'd prefer like if we get squad ups that are more about like squatting out to play a game. But like, I didn't ever say that outright, so this guy, it's fine for now. But for the future, let's do that.
Yeah, right, but it'll be good to drop by. If you're playing, yeah, hopefully hit up DragonKing99 on PS4, but if you want to watch this game, sure. Yeah, maybe.
Let's go to You're Wrong, where people have told us the entire show, Fran, what we've been getting wrong.
Did Barrett write in about our timing today?
Our timing?
I was wondering if Barrett's sweating.
No, I've just been doing this throughout your entire fucking WWE 2K conversation.
Exactly, yeah. I think we got to wrap soon.
Oh, shit. I didn't actually look at the time at all.
That's okay. So,
nah, I appreciate it, though.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anything big since, yeah, we got to wrap it up, right?
A lot of these we corrected ourselves, so.
Persona 5 Royal releases on October 31st.
Did we state that already? Honestly, we didn't get that much wrong, or stuff that we got wrong, we corrected ourselves. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're good.
There.
We got to rush out anyway. Yep. But tomorrow's host is going to be me and Tim. But today you can find
Timrin.
Yeah, it'll be Timrin. But it'll be also Imfran and Timrin tonight or today on Gamescast, which you can watch live on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you are a subscriber, you can watch us live, or you can hear us tomorrow on the podcast. We're also joined by Kat Bailey of US Gamer. Everyone else will be able to hear it Monday. I believe we're talking about Outer Worlds a bit more today.
I guess so.
But we'll see. That's it for today. Fran, thank you for coming.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.